It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock! That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Brought to you by the Omni. Back, hour number two. Gator Dave is with us down in Jacksonville. Dave, I was just playing around with the audience a little bit. If somebody would have told you in 2010 when Trey Burton was a freshman, and obviously he had that real big game against Kentucky, that someday he'd throw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl, would you demand that they be drug tested?
I mean, yeah, you know, he come in right after Tebow, and then Driscoll come in 2011. So, you know, you thought that would have been the quarterback to take over. But, yeah, you know, he was just really Burton at the time at Florida was really just a playmaker, a wildcat quarterback. And like you mentioned, the 6-touchdown game against Kentucky, a big run in 2012 against Tennessee, I believe another run. I think it was 2010 season as well, the overtime game against Georgia where he had another big run out of the Wildcat formation to really help Florida win that game and Urban Meyer's last year there. So, yeah, I mean, he was just a playmaker Florida could count on at times who could get the tough yards. And he never really, I don't think we ever really expected him to be quarterback for the Gators coming in as a recruit. But, you know, it's great to see him still doing things in the NFL. And, the Eagles are loaded at the tight end position. He still finds a way to make plays for them.
So Driscoll and Jacoby Brissett came in 11, right? Right after that.
Yeah. I know Driscoll, Muschamp's first year, I know he got his first playing time against Alabama when Brantley went down. You know, right. Florida was looking pretty good against Alabama. John Brantley goes down. And true freshman Driscoll comes in, and I believe he gets injured that game as well. And so he doesn't get to play. But then, of course, in 2012, of that first, you know, the Muschamp year where Florida only loses one regular season game to Georgia and gets beat by Louisville in the bowl game, get back to the start of that season, Bill, and Jacoby Brissett and Jeff Driscoll were on the field at the same time. They had a quarterback battle going into that season, and I guess the Will Muschamp to kind of appease both of them, on the first play of the game that year, they're both on the field.
Did you think Jacoby Brissett would be the best of that group eventually? Because he's doing pretty well in the NFL. I mean, relative to high school, you know?
Right. I really thought Driscoll would be.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was more, I guess, if Urban Meyer would have stayed at Florida or if Dan Mullen would have been promoted as if he would have came back to Florida as a coach or a system more tailored fit for what Jeff Driscoll could do, I think he still would have been a quarterback that, you know, could have done some good things at Florida in a spread, power run spread type of system similar to Dan Mullen, Urban Meyer. I think he would have been successful. But, you know, they brought in Charlie Weiss as the offensive coordinator in 2011. Brissett was kind of his guy. He was going to be the guy to kind of take over with Charlie Weiss, but, you know, he was only there for a year. And then Brent Peace comes in as the offensive coordinator and decides to go with Jeff Driscoll over Brissett. So, you know, we saw what he could do when he transferred to NC State. That really had great success in the ACC at that time and is still playing in the league right now, starting for the Colts.
Give me what's out there between now and tomorrow for the Gators in recruiting.
Still in the running for a lot of big-time recruits, Bill, and, you know, fighting, you know, it's not necessarily fighting a lot of fighting for a lot of recruits against Florida State, you know, or Miami. It's more, if you kind of look at it and see who they're going against, it's more Alabama and Auburn for some of the guys they really want to bring in. Jacob Copeland, Nicholas Petit-Frere, they're in a battle with Alabama for those guys, a five-star offensive lineman and a four-star wide receiver. You know, Florida looks in good shape to get Copeland's commitment and signing tomorrow. But they're also, you know, Richard Garage, Nicholas Petit-Frere just come off of a visit to Ohio State where he has a relationship with Greg Schiano. And now there's rumors Greg Schiano may be headed to the NFL with the Patriots. So we'll see what that goes on. But Notre Dame's also the team to look out for there. But, you know, Florida battling Alabama for those two guys and then battling Auburn for a current commit, Richard Garage. He visited there this past weekend, had a good time. He'll choose between, you know, Florida and Auburn. You also have Caleb Johnson and Caleb Tanner, who are also Florida-Auburn battles as well. You could throw Nebraska in for Tanner as well. So it is kind of surprising that there's not more Florida-Florida State battles and there's not more Florida-Miami battles. It's actually Florida dealing with the two Alabama schools for some of the guys that's on their list coming up. So I think a pretty neat scenario, one you wouldn't expect with these transition classes going on at Florida and Florida State. And, you know, and Rick early in his tenure there. But, you know, Florida, don't get me wrong, you know, Florida is battling a little bit with those two schools. Malcolm Lamar, defensive end there, had a good time at Florida a couple weeks ago, but I think he sticks with FSU and Willie Taggart. You know, he was, I think, committed to Oregon under Willie Taggart there. And now we'll look to follow him to FSU more than likely. But also Andrew Chatfield down in that American Heritage area, four-star, a big Florida lean right now, according to the 24/7 crystal balls, all that good stuff. When you talk about reports and crystal balls flowing in. So Chatfield down in that South Florida area looks to be a Gator. But then, you know, there's a lot of talk, Will, about Nessa Silvera and the possible flip from Miami to Florida, another American Heritage guy. A big-time defensive tackle, a position of need for the Gators. I think it's kind of tough to call and predict for a flip, but some people are out there saying he could be a Gator come tomorrow. But when it's all said and done, I think he sticks with Miami.
We were looking yesterday, and Gator Dave's with us, and we'll let you know how you can get his podcast, Gators Breakdown, at high schools in America who have produced the most NFL players. And three schools were in the top 20 or so from Florida. St. Thomas Aquinas, actually, I thought they would have been higher than this. They were fourth. Number one was Long Beach Poly in California. They've got 56 former players from their school that went on to the NFL. Aquinas was fourth, but the other two were Belgrade, Glade Central, but the other one is not that far from you. Jacksonville Reigns, right there in your area. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. Lito Shepard, of course.
Yeah.
Coming out there. Yeah, probably the most famous Gator coming out there. Jabbar Gaffney you know, had his time there. That's the early 2000s Steve Spurrier teams there. But, yeah, I mean, they think Lewis Nix, I believe, from that, he went to Notre Dame. I believe he's still in the league as well. Yep. But yeah, so you had the that's actually pretty surprising. I did not know Reigns was that high. And hey, look, they just come off of the state title this past year as well, coming and winning. You know, they're the only public school in the Jacksonville area to win the state titles. You know, a lot of the other ones have been the private schools in the area. So, you know, and, you know, speaking of Aquinas, you know, Florida has Trevon Grimes now, who was, you know, at Ohio State, played there. He's on the roster now as a transfer, and Jake Allen, the quarterback. As well, so you know, Florida has some guys currently on the roster from that school, but that's pretty surprising about Reigns. I really didn't know that.
And my first recollection, at least maybe before that, but it would have been mid '90s for Glade Central, Belgrade, because it was Fred Taylor and Redell Anthony, right? Yeah, came right out of there.
Right.
And played immediately, both of them. I mean, and were standouts immediately. They were so good. Amazing.
It was a shame. You know, he did what he could at Florida and played great, and, you know, just really couldn't stay healthy here in Jacksonville. I mean, he'd probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer had he stayed healthy, because the stats he was putting up when he was healthy for in NFL, you know, his name would be even bigger than what it is, you know, because he played on those really, really good Jaguar teams and really couldn't get to the, you know, had the AFC title game in 99, couldn't get to the Super Bowl against the Titans. But, you know, it was – for what he did in college and what he was able to do in the NFL, he'd been able to stay healthy, I think would even be more of a household name in the nation's eyes.
You know, if you go back historically, Emmitt Smith out of Pensacola, Escambia, Florida Gator. But I tell you what, Fred Taylor, let's say post-Emmitt to today, Fred Taylor's easily the most talented running back they've had, right? Am I skipping somebody? And they've had good running backs, but he'd be in the one slot, right?
He'd be in the one slot, and, yeah, number two would be kind of – it would be a step down. I mean, you had – Terry Jackson, Eric Redd, you know, but not
Eric Redd was good
as well. Yeah, and you know, he had some time in the league as well. Theatric Faison at Florida, you know, he didn't do much in the NFL. But Theatric Faison, for what he did under Ron Zook, I think, you know, you could probably put that 3-4 range as well. But yeah, you're right. It's Fred Taylor and then everybody else. You know, not to slight those guys at all, but yeah, you're right. Fred Taylor was a special talent.
Well, tell you what. It's going to be interesting. I'll ask you this for probably the fifth time. Is it still the same for you covering the Gators with that early signing period heading into tomorrow? Just as far as emotionally sinking yourself into it and the excitement about what might be tomorrow?
It is, just because now getting closer to it and the number of guys they're in for it, like they have nine spots that they can fill.
Yep.
Maybe 10 if they can get the Randy Russell, who was a signee, he was an early enrollee, can't play anymore. He had a physical and they found some problems and he cannot play football anymore. So, you know, if Florida can, I don't know if I doubt they'll hear, they probably would have heard back from the NCAA already. They wanted to get that scholarship back, of course. That would give them 10 spots to fill tomorrow. So, you know, they may try and just fill it anyway. Right? They, you know, probably feel good about getting that scholarship back. But, you know, look, they have 10 spots to fill. And it's a lot different than these established programs. And it's a lot different than what Georgia has going on, where they already, you know, have maybe two or three guys that are going in for tomorrow. And these top classes, I mean, there's not going to be too much shuffling with these, you know, I think top five classes or whatever. But, you know, you still have some big programs. You have Florida State. You have Florida. You have Texas A&M. Those are your transition schools. And, you know, Florida is, as I mentioned, battling against Alabama, battling against Auburn, battling against FSU and Miami for some other guys. So right now it does seem the same because they still have so many slots available. You don't know where a lot of these kids are going. And they're big-time signees. They're the one five-star in free air, a ton of four-stars, and some high-grade three-stars that Florida's in for. And these three-stars, like Caleb Tanner I was talking about, it's Florida and Auburn. It's big schools as well. So not to slight him just because he's a three-star. He's got big programs after him as well. So right now it is still as exciting just because of the 9-10 spots Florida can fill and the big names that are still out there that they can still sign.
Tell everybody how they can get Gators Breakdown, your podcast.
You get Gators Breakdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, YouTube, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, all that good stuff. Plenty of options out there to get it. And we had a kind of our final look going into signing day on the most recent podcast. I put it up on Twitter and the social media platform this morning, so everybody can check that out. And, of course, we'll have our big signing day review type post-signing day show tomorrow night after it's all said and done.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
Gator Day with us. Yeah. Weedell Anthony, of course, they went over to Louisiana, got Ike Hilliard back then, talking mid-90s. And Jacquez Green, who now, I see him on Twitter, I think he's still a coach in Georgia, a high school coach in Georgia. Heck of a player, Quezzy Green. But when they got Weedell Anthony and Fred Taylor, those guys were so good. They were ready-made, and that was a very good roster now. A championship-type roster. They were so good that they were ready to play literally game one. Matter of fact, Gators, if I'm not mistaken, didn't Weedell Anthony return kicks like day one kickoffs. I thought bean counters can go back and either adjust my fact there or check off on him. If I'm remembering, and he was a deep threat in the passing game. Of course, Spurrier was always stretching defenses, trying to get up over the top of secondaries, always wanting to do that. Oh, particularly after a turnover. After a turnover, you knew the first play from Spurrier was going to be over the top. And many times, it seemed like it worked. Every time. Those were fun days, man. Very fun. Bucks at the bottom of the hour. And then Griff, the guy who we have on who invariably makes you mad about something. Even Tennessee fans. And I think that he's very objective with Tennessee. I think he covers them fairly. I think he does it reasonably. I think he does his homework. Vol fans, mainly the Vol East Tennessee mafia media, they get on him. Oh, my God. It's Griff against them every day. They all pile up on Griff. That's one reason just to tune in occasionally up there. Just to see what they're doing with Griff, slamming him. They slam Griff even when he's right. Seriously, they will get on Griff when he's clearly right about something and get the entire mob mentality on him. And he takes it, man. He does not back down at all. You got to give him, you may not want to, but you got to give him some credit. We have not heard from the Cosby Cattleman. Speaking of Dickel number 12, we have not heard from the Cosby Cattleman this week either. I'm sure he'll be checking in at some point. I sent Charlie, I don't know if Charlie got it. It's that Kiffin audio. Do you have it? Okay. We'll, and it's not the best. It came off YouTube, so it's not that clean, but so what? When we come back, we'll pull that up. Just a little, we'll go back, oh, what would that be? Almost 10 years, 9 years to when Kiffin was at Tennessee, and it was after, and I think he was actually in Nashville, it was after his first signing class. Just a couple days after that. And that's back then. Remember, everybody, back then is when he was attacking Urban Meyer. I'll give you the background on that. Buck at the bottom of the hour. Let's get the break. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. The police are wrapping up this wreck here. 3400 Black of Brick Church Pike, 2100 Gallatin Pike. Still bumper to bumper here as we check it out live on 65 southbound here at Trinity Lane. Heavy now on 40. Here we go. Westbound trying to get through Hermitage, Donaldson up by Spence Lane. Ready to refresh or update that paint in your home? It's easy. Just call NashPainting.com at 615-85-PAINT, 615-85-PAINT. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-755-6390. That's 800-755-6390. 800-755-6390.
For more than 30 years, Hubcap Heaven and Wheels has been committed to serving the needs of their customers by providing quality used wheels, wheel covers, and center caps for cars and trucks at a fraction of the cost of new parts. They also straighten and refinish aluminum alloy wheels. Hubcap Heaven and Wheels serves automotive dealers and tire stores, body shops, rental car companies, fleet vehicles, and the retail pub. Stop by Hubcap Heaven and Wheels at 396 Murfreesboro Road and say hello to owners Carol and Jim Jones. Just give them a call at 615-254-6636. Or you can visit them online at yourwheelstore.com. Nashville.com. Experience the true spirit of Nashville at Bar Lines and Upscale Honky Tonk. Live music 7 days a week and an award-winning menu. Conveniently located across from Bridgestone Arena and only blocks from Nissan Stadium, Bar Lines is the perfect spot for sports and live music fans alike. Featuring 22 flat-screen TVs, the best of Music City's up-and-coming talent, Bar Lines offers an unforgettable Nashville experience. Bar Lines has the best hot wings in Music City and handcrafted libations featuring the best local spirits and finest Tennessee whiskeys. Come on down to Bar Lines, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
Mark D'Antonio is a liar. You know why I know this? His words.
We never done anything. This is the first time this ever happened.
First time that the media knew about it because it wasn't out there until now. I hope they don't let up. I hope they get the real truth out of all these things. But to me, there's no excuse for Mark D'Antonio just absolutely lying.
Weekdays starting at 4 from Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Do you like tackle football? Bill King does, and you can connect with at Bill Is King on Twitter or 888-702-5494.
The Nashville Hotel will be at the Southern, just around the corner. Southern's taking a Oyster on Friday, this Friday. Charlie's got that audio clip. This is Kiffin, February of 09, talking about the classes. This is when he didn't like Urban Meyer, and he was complaining about Newkeese Richardson, who he says Meyer contacted when he was on his visit to Tennessee. Charlie, play that clip.
We had a great plan there of how to steer Florida away from this guy, so they thought we weren't getting him. You know, he came out in the paper that Friday and said he wasn't even coming to visit us. So that what would happen is the people down there, the pressure would stay off him. They wouldn't go try to get him. They think that they still had him. And this is a recruiting violation. I'm going to turn Florida in right here in front of you. But as Newkeese was here on our campus, his phone keeps ringing. And so one of our coaches is sitting in the meeting with him. He says, "Who's that?" And he looks at the phone and says, "Urban Meyer." Okay? Just so you know, when a recruit's on another campus, you can't call a recruit on another campus. But I love the fact that Urban had to cheat and still didn't get him. Great job by him.
That's baby Kiff back in 09. Now, when he got the job at Tennessee, he immediately made it clear that he did not like Urban Meyer. And he many times would forcibly say the best coach in this league is Nick Saban. He would get just little hints like that. Now obviously Nick's hell of a coach. I'm not playing the either or game here. I'm just giving you the Kiffin angle. Now, since then, he said, "I made some youthful mistakes, and I don't think they're buddies," but he doesn't stay on the attack with Urban Meyer anymore. But, and that's 09, so you got to remember, Urban had two natties then. Urban had 06, 08. Saban, now that was February of 09. Saban was about to win that next fall his first natty at Alabama and his second natty overall, that 09 team, which might have been his best team at Alabama to date. So Saban was about to get him some right there. And 08, he already had it turned around. But 09 is when it started, the natty run that he's on in Alabama. That seems to not be ending anytime soon, right? Speaking of Newkeese Richardson, those that lost track of him, he was a big-time football star out of that Belgrade area, Pahokee, Florida, won three straight state titles when he was down there. And he gets to Tennessee in the fall of 09, gets there, and he was arrested 9 games into the season for his involvement in armed robbery. It was near campus. He pleaded guilty. He did not go to jail. He was given probation. Later got kicked off the team. He transferred to Coffeyville Community College out in Kansas. And then he transferred to Pikeville in Kentucky, University of Pikeville in Kentucky. tried to dabble around with the NFL, got released with the Colts in 14, and has not played since. Went back to Pahokee, has been arrested 3 times in Palm Beach County, twice on charges of domestic battery, once for driving with a suspended or revoked license, and I think there's been another incident or two. Jailed again. Now, here, this is a story from February of 16. So 2 years ago, says Newkeese Richardson, former Pahokee star, was jailed again Saturday on charges of stalking and contempt of court. So he was a small 5'9", 170-pound electric athlete. I mean, twitchy, quick, fast, playmaker, but never, ever saw it. And I remember Kiffin. Now, Kiffin came to town for the Davidson County, and that's the Nashville County, the Davidson County Big Orange Caravan Stop, which I think still is held in Lipscomb's basketball arena, Lipscomb College in Green Hills, the Nashville area. That is where they hold that event. I haven't been in a few years, but forever. Before that, it was at the National Guard Armory many years ago. Anyways, long story short, Kiffin was there, and I remember he was complaining. I'm sitting there with him and Joe Biddle, not Dave Biddle, Joe Biddle, and he was complaining because they did not have, I'm not sure if it was Rivals or who he was mad at, but they did not have Newkeese Richardson as a 5-star. I remember he did not take kindly to that. He goes, that's 5-star. If we're defining players, that is absolutely a 5-star. You got to acknowledge that. And, of course, he turned into more of a 5-star bad guy than anything. I thought that was funny. I forget about this one, Charlie, because there's so many clips, and I know we've gone over this. I've asked you about that Fred Rouse audio drop. Was that one that we ever found or not? Okay. Yeah, I thought. Again, those things all mesh together. And maybe I dreamed one night we found that and played it. I couldn't remember. Anyways, hey, Buck's coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Charles R. Buckle. So we'll get to him. We are brought to you by, you've heard us talk about it a lot, the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. The police are wrapping up this rank here, 3400 block of Brick Church Pike, 2100 Gallatin Pike. Still bumper to bumper here as we check it out live on 65 southbound here at Trinity Lane. Heavy now on 40. Here we go. Westbound trying to get through Hermitage, Donaldson up by Spence Lane. Ready to refresh or update that paint in your home? It's easy. Just call NashPainting.com at 615-85-PAINT, 615-85-PAINT. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Since 1976, Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant, has continued the tradition of the La Mattina family of real Italians making real pizza and dishes with their own secret and successful recipes passed from generation to generation. Angelo's Picnic Pete's, an Italian restaurant at 2713 Murfreesboro Road in Antioch, has long been the go-to place in Nashville for authentic Brooklyn-style pizza, even up to selling pizza by the slice. In fact, the La Mattina family received a proclamation from Metro Government for dedication to service, length of time open for a family-owned business, and great selection of authentic Italian food. But it's more than just great pizzas at Angelo's, with amazing pasta dishes, calzones, strombolis, and sandwiches, plus daily specials and a buffet Monday through Saturday from 11 to 2 and Sunday 4:30 to 8:30. Catering also available. Visit angelospicnicpizza.com to learn more and print off special coupons, or just give Nick and the crew a call. 615-399-0100. That's Angelo's Picnic Pizza, an Italian restaurant in Antioch, for the real deal Italian.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear hug.
Uh-huh, okay.
Well, we were building a bonfire, and I saw some, like, dry brush and leaves around, so, you know, I said to move the bonfire somewhere else, and out of nowhere, Smokey Bear shows up and hugs me.
So you noticed some wildfire hazards and moved your bonfire to a safer location.
Yeah,
that's Smokey, all right. He likes when people help prevent wildfires. It hits him close to home. Not everybody gets the hug, my friend. So that's pretty special, to get a hug from Smokey Bear.
So it was him. Hey, guys, I told you it was Smokey.
Okay, well, congratulations, my friend. And thanks for calling. There are many ways to prevent a wildfire. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Nashville weather.
Here is a look at your Skywatch weather forecast. For today, mostly cloudy, high in the upper 40s. Tonight, showers expected, low in the lower 40s. Tomorrow, starting off with some showers, high tomorrow in the mid 40s. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy and cold, low in the mid 20s. And it looks like sunny skies to return back in the forecast on Thursday and Friday, with showers returning on Saturday and Saturday night. I'm Commander Chuck, your Skywatch weather.
Best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, The Bill King Show.
Omni Nashville Hotel, Charles Arbuckle with us in this slot every Tuesday. Buck, how you been, sir? Sorry about that. Buck, we got you now. How you been, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
I am well. I'm not a big NFL guy, but I cheated. I watched that Super Bowl. Where would you put that Super Bowl as far as your eyes and entertainment level?
Well, you know, I think the one thing you have to – I think I talked about this all week during Super Bowl week. When you have the Patriots, you know it's going to be a pretty close game. It may come down to a field goal. And you think about all their Super Bowls, whether they've won or lost, kind of come down to the end. And I think the intrigue for me with this one – was that you had a rabid Philly fan base that is just crazy. You know, I mean,
right.
If you play there, you know that. If you played for Philly, you know that. You can see how they celebrated afterwards, climbing up flagpoles and everything else. So you knew it was one of those things where Philly was waiting. They were anxiously anticipating that. Now, on the other side, I mean, if I look at, you know, New England, you know, they've kind of started to become the team that everybody wants to knock off. They become the Alabama of the NFL. So I don't know if I put it as my top Super Bowl game, but I will say what intrigued me was Nick Foles, that story.
Yeah.
You know, Doug Peterson kind of having to take over and beat Bill Belichick. Some of the just the plays, those trick plays by the quarterback position. I thought there were just some really outstanding things. And the offensive lines for both teams really were just dominant, where you only have one punt for each team and one sack combined between each team. So I wouldn't put it in my top, you know, ever, but I'd say top five, top ten, clearly.
Did you ever cross paths in your NFL career with Doug Peterson?
No, you know, I know Doug from a distance. I don't know him well.
Right.
I know a lot of guys that do that have played with him. He always seemed like a good guy.
Right.
If you bump into him, he seemed like a real genuine dude, just from all indications. And he's turning out to be a really solid coach, typical of a backup quarterback, where you have to watch the game and really mentally play the game, so when you go in, you're prepared to play. I think he's really done a nice job, and I'll say that because you have a guy like Carson Wentz, who he really was developing well, and then a guy like Nick Foles, you come in, you add some RPO to the offense again, you make it comfortable for Nick. Nick is a really good deep ball thrower. So I think when I saw that, and how they were able to give him that time off when they had the bye and then the 2 weeks between the Super Bowl, his game plan was awesome.
To me, the lesson there, and I know it's more complicated, but just a very general lesson, is if you're going to play New England or Alabama and you're going to beat them, you can never take your foot off the gas. If you think you can get a lead on them and then hang on, you're not going to win. And he, at no point, Buck, took his foot off the gas, did he? Never.
Bill, I said the same. Remember, I thought we talked about it.
Yep.
Maybe
yep.
We when you look at Jacksonville, right? They were celebrating when they knocked Gronkowski out. They had a minute left before half and didn't decide to do anything aggressively. it was 38 seconds with that fake field goal. And you, I think you tweeted it out. That's a play from his old high school, from Nick Foles' high school days.
Yep.
So they talked about that. And even at halftime, he said, hey, we practiced it. Because those are the things you have in your back pockets. You have to, because you know that if you're playing Nick Saban or Bill Belichick, they're going to have a wrinkle. They're going to have some kind of wrinkle during that game, and you better be prepared to match wrinkle for wrinkle.
Did you get a chance last week to watch the 30 for 30, the two Bills?
No, I haven't.
Oh, but
I got it on tape.
You
got
to do it.
That's one thing I'm doing the next couple of days.
It's riveting.
I want to watch it where I can, you know, pause it and bring it back, and you know, all the intrigue, because that was around my time. I was actually in Cleveland with Bill Belichick his first year at Cleveland. I got released, but yeah, I know a lot of those Patriots guys, a lot of Giants guys that played for both of those, you know, Bills kind of guys. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to watching that.
What was so good about it, and everything about it was good, but they had them two sitting together, Bill and Bill, and then they would go to clips and they would talk about whatever, you know, dating back, their relationship, how they got together, how they got to know each other, the different things that happened with their careers. That was interesting. But those two guys sitting there next to each other, not quite next to each other, but at a table there together in two seats or whatever. You've got Parcells, which is a big, boisterous, talking guy, and then you have Belichick, not so much, and not really much of a camera, mic on, audio guy. But they did such a good job, Buck, and again, I'm not a television exec producer, so I don't have that art form, but they did such a good job of showing those two guys together in real time, sitting there during the interview, and I think they purposely showed their discomfort being there together, particularly Belichick. It just felt awkward.
Yeah. You know, I just saw a clip, like a trailer, and it looked like, to me, when a young son becomes better, or like he has eclipsed his father.
Right.
And his father is like, look, you got to give me some credit for that. And the son is like, I'm going to give you credit, but I can't keep giving you all the credit because I'm taking what I knew and I made it go to the next level.
Right.
So whenever I look at those two, or you look at that dynamic, it's almost like I'm letting you be the guy you are. And the guy that's now Bill Belichick is saying, no, it was a lot of factors. You were a vessel and a vehicle, but you weren't there. You know, so that when I watched that little clip, that's what I'm looking forward to watching throughout the whole show, to really get the gist of that.
We're going through our first signing, dual signing days, whatever we're doing. I don't even know how to describe it. We've got two opportunities to sign is what it is. What are we finding out about this? What do we know? What is it? Is it necessary? Has this been good? Do we know enough yet?
I think the time of the early one needs to be adjusted. If you talk to I was at the AFCA this year, the American Football Coaches Association convention here in Charlotte. And that was the one common theme for most of the coaches, especially the ones that had later bowl games, you know, going into the New Year's Day area and, you know, late December. The problem with that early December one is that you're in the middle of bowl practice, and it's just – that's a nightmare. And I don't think people realize, because with the bowl prep, you know this, you're at home, but then you have to go off-site to the location of wherever you're going for, you know, 4 or 5 days up to a week. But those guys, you could tell, even like a guy like Scott Frost, remember, he was taking a plane to recruit for Nebraska, but then going back to get ready for the UCF game. That was what was so intriguing about him and that team being prepared and ready to play and beat Auburn. So I'll just say the coaches have probably aligned, and I'm sure we'll hear something about that. If they're going to keep the early sign today, which it seems like they will, there needs to be some thought into when it's going to occur and the timing of it. That December 20 through the 22nd, I don't think was good for anybody involved, students, the student athletes, or the coaches.
So I'm going to take you back to Nick Foles. Is this a case where he is actually now a big-time quarterback? I mean, and he's been in a Pro Bowl a couple of years ago. But is this just one of those perfect matches for a situation and we shouldn't get too carried away?
Bill, I think he's made himself a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know how else you look at the quarterback position, but yeah. There's not a lot of them that are really good. I mean, would Cleveland like to have a Nick Foles right now? yeah, I mean, you know, let's be real. Let's talk about, I mean, if you just start going around the league and you're looking at quarterback play, I mean, Cleveland jumps right off the map. I mean, it's easy to pick them, but there are probably 10 other teams that were watching the Super Bowl and looking at that and saying, how can we incorporate this guy in our plans? Because the one thing he has always been, even when he was at Arizona, he had a live arm, and he's got a deep ball. I think if you look at it, he had the one interception, but it was because Alshon Jeffrey was going against his buddy from college, Stephon Gilmore. He just couldn't put the ball away. And that was almost the same catch he made against Alabama when South Carolina really started on their roll. So I to answer your question, I think he's made himself a lot of money, a lot of money in this NFL. If we're going to give Kirk Cousins $30 million, I'm exaggerating, but if he's a $25 million quarterback a year, Nick Foles is a damn good quarterback in my opinion.
Buck, appreciate you, man. We'll see you next week.
All right, Bill, have a good one. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Always good with Buck there. I tried, man. I mean, little bit of college overlap with the NFL. Now, you won't hear that much on the show, but I think the Nick Foles thing is interesting. I don't care really what he does, meaning what team he's on in the future and all that. Doesn't matter to me, but it's a pretty cool story. Jason says, get Brando on, Tim Brando, to discuss the timing of college football signing day. Is he against it? I haven't seen his opinion on that. I follow him on Twitter, but I don't think I've noticed what his opinion on that is. So I couldn't tell you. Have you ordered the shampoo yet? Yep, it is a fantastic product, the shampoo. BillIsKing7@gmail.com for information on it. Just leave a phone number, BillIsKing7@gmail.com, and be glad to get back to you about it. It is a wonderful product. Whether you've got a full, thick head of hair like many of you in this audience do, male, female, or whether you need a little help with growth, there's a spray that stimulates your scalp. It's also a shampoo and a conditioner, and it's wonderful. Now, it is high-end. It is wonderful for your scalp and your hair, and it only requires about the size of a dime, the amount you put in your hand when you're going to apply it to your hair. It is fantastic. Small amount goes a long way, and we use it here in the King family with all nine of us, me, the wife. Now, everybody else but Dad, me, has a nice, thick head of hair. They got her fantastic hair. Good for them. They skipped the genetics of my thinning hair, which is fantastic. Good for them. They all escaped the clutches of my genes. Very good for them. So we're happy about that, but they still use it, and it keeps their hair nice and fluffy and clean, and it's happy time. For me, I use it because I need some help. I'm getting more growth, and it's really been a good experience. BillIsKing7@gmail.com. Need another break here. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. The police wrapping up a couple of wrecks from earlier, 3400 block of Brick Church Pike, Ellington Parkway at Douglas. At the moment, I'm looking live here at this traffic on 40 eastbound here at 46th Avenue, coming up by Whitebridge Pike. It's still moving right along on 65 up through Brentwood. ICU Security, they specialize in surveillance camera installation and service. Check them out. It's ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-643-6931 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-643-6931 to take your call now. Call 1-800-643-6931. That's 1-800-643-6931. Again, 1-800-643-6931.
Nissan of Rivergate in Madison is your Nissan dealer for huge selection, huge savings, and huge trade-in allowances. For over 25 years, they've been making Middle Tennessee car buyers happy with the very best in customer service. In addition to their huge selection of new Nissans and huge selection of quality pre-owned vehicles, Nissan of Rivergate has award-winning service, parts, and body shops on-site for your convenience. Nissan of Rivergate is located on Gallatin Road in Madison, 2 miles north of Old Hickory and 1 mile south of Rivergate Mall. Plus, you can visit them 24/7 at nissanofrivergate.com.
Part of you won't be satisfied till you eat made-to-order food that's hot and meaty like a meal. You want Penn Station East Coast subs. This is the food you daydream about. Grilled steak and onions covered in melty cheese with baked bready goodness and fresh-cut fries. See it with your mind's eye and smell it with your mind's nose. It's what dinner and lunch were meant to be. Answer your craving with something truly mind-blowingly delicious. Penn Station, hot, meaty goodness.
Smashville is your home for the NHL Western Conference champion Nashville Predators. And WNSR is your home for the best coverage. Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Every game day morning starting at 5 a.m., Crazy Charlie Saunier and his crew take you around the league with updates, interviews, and more. For the best coverage of the Nashville Predators, make sure you're locked in every game day morning starting at 5. For Redneck Nation Radio on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM. He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
That was the case, but you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and said, you know, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else, and you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and you know, Fred seen Florida State, and that's what I went with.
He found it. Oh my God! How did you do that, Charlie? What happened there? That was real. Oh, where did that come from? I thought that thing was gone forever.
I've been digging.
You found that. Okay. This is Fred Rouse on signing day. He was a five-star recruiter in Tallahassee, and we all thought, Charlie thought too, we were talking during the break, two breaks ago, this audio clip is gone forever, and it's not. Charlie found it. Me and Fred Rouse, except all you hear is Fred. Play that again, Charlie. Hit it.
I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and said, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else. And, you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and, you know, Fred seen Florida State, and that's what I went with.
Charlie, for our coverage tomorrow, we're just going to play that on loop for 3 hours. There it is. Our signing day coverage right there. 3 hours of Fred Rouse from Tallahassee. Oh,
it's,
my God.
Bill, the file I found is so old that we actually don't even have a program on any of our computers that can play it. That was the most difficult part. I was actually able to track it down, but it is in a format that doesn't even exist anymore. But we've got it, and I'll do some work on it when we're done today and make sure we have it for tomorrow.
Is there any was there anything else interesting in there that we'd forgotten about?
It's the entire Fred Rouse interview is only about 2.5 minutes long if you wanted to hear the whole thing. We got time for it right here if you wanted to. I mean, there's nothing as good as that 20 seconds, but.
Fred, now, and he was at a big party.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what was going on, but it was a really big party there. And
well, Fred going to do what's best for Fred.
Tell you what, let's hold it for next hour somewhere. Can you do that without it disappearing? Will it run away?
That was the case, but you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and said, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else, and you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and you know, Fred seen Florida State, and that's
Fred seen Florida State. And that's what he gonna do.
Fred was a 5-star and turned out to be a 5-star knucklehead. That was about it.
I can't imagine by those answers that he turned out that way.
Right.
So, yeah, I found it.
Yeah, we'll tell you what, we may go long form next time.
By the way, Bill, in my research, and I think I mentioned this to you during the break, I had no idea that I still had, you know, almost every on-campus text file. That's how I was able to locate it. I was able to track it down actually by date, not by the soundbite itself. So those old on-campus post-show reports from the Baby Space Needle days, well, I'm deleting about 6,000 of them today, I think, but they came through today and helped me find something. I didn't even realize I still had that folder. I mean, I was a lot more meticulous at keeping my notes back then, I guess.
That was so bad. One of the things they asked us to do is, after every show, have a report written about each show, which is just so unnecessary.
It was brutal. Yeah. A summary of every thought you had, plus what each caller had, plus where everything fit in. And you know, it was cumbersome is not even the word for it. It was absurd.
It'd be like being in school and the teacher gives you busy work. That's useless.
It kind of was busy work, and I was always happy to have either Bobby Raymond or Patrick Wu or even Dan Bradley for a little while to help out with those, because that was just tedious. Sit there and try to, like a court stenographer, textualize the entire show.
Useless, man.
Three hours of typing for an internal memo that went to four people who listened to the entire show. Jeez.
I know.
Well, I'm glad we have a better way of doing things now.
Yeah, we don't do it this weekend.
That was the case, but you know, I slept on it, and about two, I made a call and said, what Fred want to do? You know, it's not about everybody else, and you know, everybody else seen Texas and Miami and Alabama, and you know, Fred seen Florida State, and that's what you know, that's what I went with.
Vince is a big Michigan fan. He says, Bill, what do you think about Otis Reese? Now, Otis Reese, for everybody, is he'd be more of an outside linebacker. He's 6'3", about 200, 205. He's been committed to Coach Partridge at Michigan. Not Charlie Partridge. Not that one. Not the one who's at Pitt. But anyways, there's some talk, because he visited Georgia more recently, that maybe Georgia would pull him back to the in-state team. The State U team down there, University of Georgia Bulldogs. I can only tell you what Wilt Fong is saying. Wilt Fong thinks that he sticks with Michigan tomorrow. We'll see, obviously, but that's what he is saying. Jason said, need to have Tim Brando on to talk about signing day and what he thinks. I said, I don't really know what his opinion is, so he linked me Brando. Brando tweeted this. February signing day should be abolished by the NCAA. We wake up today after the Super Bowl, and college hoops still can't get any attention. Mark Emmert should be ashamed as well as those that govern college basketball. December signing period should be enough. Marketing matters. There's a tweet right under that that says, well, the NCAA did this to themselves, which I agree. The tournament is the only thing that matters. Outside of the hardcore fans, no one cares until March for a reason. It's reality that signing day does take away from that. Brando says, don't disagree, but those aren't watching college football. Excuse me, those who aren't watching college hoops are missing out. It is. I mean, basketball and Tim broadcast basketball the entire season for Fox, and he's acknowledging it. I mean, basketball, college basketball, literally does not have an identity. Nobody knows when the season starts, hardly. Maybe you hardcore folks do, but the masses don't. The general sports population doesn't. The regular season is just a big mismatch of games that really don't have a lot riding on it. 68 teams get in the damn tournament, for God's sakes. And then you get to go to the NIT if you don't, or the other tournament. You've got the overlap with football. Football crushes it. You've got recruiting. Recruiting crushes it. Then what are you sitting there? After all that is washed through, what do you got? You got March. March Madness is fun. We all still dig that. But that's it. That's all you got. And it's fun. March Madness is a blast. I love it every year, just like you do. But until then, you don't have much. It is just the conference tournaments are just a joke. Okay? If not meaningless, borderline meaningless. Just a joke. Now, for the one-bid leagues, the tournament's everything because you can have a hell of a year losing the tournament and not go. But, again, those leagues are not mainstream. Not many people care about those leagues. As good as and fun as that might be when it's a one-bid league, that's not where the masses are. That's not where the fish are biting. Hour 3 is coming up. Griff.